This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. I'm going to have to talk a little louder today. Because it is raining outside. It's been a good week. It is episode 267. I just keep flapping my gums. So, this week, there was a little bit of thing you may or probably don't recall, but several months ago now, I think, I had mentioned that I was going over to Evangel University because technically I'm an alumni from there now, which is a little weird, but... since I'm an alumni now from Evangel University, they wanted me to come and talk about what I had been doing in my life and that sort of thing. And so they edited together that interview and released it. And a few people picked it up, you know, here and there on Facebook. And so there has been a little chatter this week about that. So I went and watched it. I think I talked to them for... It was going on a half hour, and it all got edited down to like 3 minutes, that's what you expect, which is fine. And they did a good job editing it down. There were a couple of points when I went, whoa, what? Because they cut in the middle of a sentence. But, you know, that's fine. It's fine. Because there was one particular sentence when I went, that's not quite right, but it's close enough. It's close enough. So... anyways, that was big goings on this week. I am still not done with the novel. Or I should say, I'm still not roughed in with the novel. I did start to do a little roughing in just playing with the cover. This is going to be very, very interesting. I did decide... in thinking, because I have to start thinking in a visual language. So, I have to think in visual analogies and, I've been thinking what I can do there. I did decide that what I'm going to do, that person almost had an accident. They were trying to run through the turny lefty. And it had gone to yellow, and they decided to go, and someone else decided to go, but thankfully there was no accident. Otherwise, you would have heard, poof, you know, on the podcast, and I could have said, there was just an accident there. anyway, so I did decide that what I'm going to do, from a color tonal perspective on the covers, is I'm going to start out yellow, in yellow tones, and kind of go then to orange tones and then to red tones for sunset and then to green for the flash at twilight. Go into the green tones and then move through the green tones into blue and then probably eventually to purple, or we'll go purple first and then to blue. I'll have to look it up on the color spectrum and see. And that way they can kind of be this progression of the colors that you would see as night falls. So that'll be fun. This is going to be interesting. I did find a bunch of pictures that I think I can use that seem to be reasonably priced. I'm going to have to buy a whole bunch of them. But I found a bunch of them on iStock Photo, kind of down in the five or six credit range, which will put them in the range of, you know, $7.50 to $10 a piece, which is fine. That's fine. I can, you know, if I have five or six of them, it's not going to break the bank. So I'm looking forward to actually trying to get that started. But of course, before I get that started, I have to actually finish the book. I am on chapter 25. I had hoped there was only going to be 25 chapters, but in fact, there's going to be 26 plus an epilogue. So I have to power through chapter 25, hopefully this weekend. And then chapter 26 next week. And then I got to get the epilogue done. And then I've got to get editing. And hopefully I can get the thing edited up in a couple of weeks so that I can get on the cover and get the cover done in a reasonable amount of time. This is going to be really interesting. It's just going to be interesting. My goal, my big goal, obviously, is to get this finished by July 1st. Because if I get it finished by July 1st, I basically started January 1st. If I get it finished by July 1st, I will have put in 6 months worth of effort to produce a book. Theoretically, that means I can get 2 books done a year. However, that does not include the time it takes to actually finish the book up and put in all of the corrections that I get from my beta readers, which usually takes about 2 weeks. So getting 2 books done a year is going to be a little bit of a challenge unless I can up my throughput. So, you know, if I start making my goal to get 7,000 words a month done as opposed to 5,000, then maybe I stand a chance. But, you know, at the end of the day, if I can't get 2 done a year, I can't get 2 done a year. I would like to, you know. And I actually had help on this one. I kind of knew where I was going. A lot of stuff changed in it, but at least I knew what the arch was. And in the next one, while I kind of know what the basic idea is, I don't know where the plot arch is. But writing is so interesting. Because there's stuff that came up in this book that I just had no idea was going to be in this book. And then as you write, it just comes out. So interesting. In other news, things are going fine with the major project I'm involved with at my major client. I put the final touches on the rough draft for the discovery document, it's called. Today, 40 pages worth of discovery document that's supposed to be an overview, and it's 40 pages long. So now my bosses have to actually wade through it. And then next week, while I'm waiting for them to wade through it, I'm probably spin off and actually get started with some of the design things for it. I don't technically have approval to get started with some of the design things, but I've talked enough with enough people. I kind of know which projects are going to get the green light, so I'm just going to go ahead and start putting together some things for those projects. And then I have to have the meetings with the executive team that will be approving all these initiatives in the order we do them. So that's going to take some time, so I'm just going to keep on the side working on the stuff that I know has a 99% chance of getting approved. So, you know, that's all puttering along. Everything's good. Can't complain. We had a few little hiccups today, but we found the problems, got through them, we're moving forward. You know, life is good. My beloved is sick. I think it was kind of a severe allergy attack coupled with, now it's gone into her chest and bronchia. Eek. She used to have this happen quite often in the past. And then there was a little time that it wasn't happening, but it is happening again. So, anyways, this week I had a couple of different things that I was thinking about talking about. Then I came across this article. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. was an article, it was an op-ed piece that was done by Stephen Hawking and several other scientists. And it wasn't a very long piece, but I thought it had some very good things to say. So it was Stephen Hawking. It was Stuart Russell, who's a computer science professor, co-author of Artificial Intelligence, A Modern Approach. Mark Tegmark, who's the physics professor at MIT, author of Our Mathematical Universe. Frank Wulczyzek, who is a physics professor at MIT and a 2004 Nobel laureate for his work on the strong nuclear force. So these guys put together a little op-ed piece with regards to artificial intelligence and the movie Transcendence. I think that's kind of what triggered it. Haven't seen the movie Transcendence yet, because it's not out on DVD or Xbox Video. Even though I really like Johnny Depp, it looks like for most of the movie, he's just staring at the camera. So that's a DVD rental or Xbox Video rental, as opposed to a go-to-the-movie-theater. But there were a couple of different articles that I had pulled down about this. And some of them had amassed a few other pieces of information. One of those pieces of information was that Google recently paid $650 million for DeepMind Technologies, an artificial intelligence company. And Google also bought a robotics maker, Boston Dynamics, which makes, they're experimental robots and they're looking like for military purposes or for police work purposes. They have this robot, I think it's them, they have this robot called Big Dog. And, you know, it's programmed to where you can have a backpack with some reflective strips on it. You can walk along and it'll walk along behind you, carrying stuff for you. And it can go over terrain and it can go over... And then you can tell it to stop, and it'll stop. And then you can tell it to follow, and it'll follow. And I'm looking at these things thinking, this is a bad idea. Have you people never seen the movie Terminator? But anyways, more on that in a moment. So in this op-ed piece, Stephen Hawking and all these other scientists are sort of discussing the present state of artificial intelligence and where they see it going in the next few, we'll call it few years. And one of the things they said is it's tempting to dismiss the notion of highly intelligent machines as mere science fiction, but this would be a mistake and potentially our worst mistake in history. According to them, artificial intelligence research is now progressing rapidly. They said there's been recent landmarks such as self-driving cars and a computer winning at Jeopardy and Siri, Google Now, and Cortana. They said those are really merely symptoms of an IT arms race fueled by unprecedented investments building an increasingly mature theoretical foundation. Said the potential benefits are huge. Everything that civilization has to offer is a product of human intelligence. We cannot predict what we might achieve when this intelligence is magnified by the tools that AI may provide. But the eradication of war, disease, and poverty would be high on anyone's list. Success in creating AI would be the biggest event in human history. They then go on to say, unfortunately, it might be the last. Unless we learn to avoid the risk. Oh, yeah, like we, and this is not in the article, but I'm thinking, oh, yeah, like we as human beings are really good and figuring out how to avoid the risks and stuff. Yeah, sure. Back to the article. In the near term, world militaries are considering autonomous weapon systems that can choose and eliminate targets. Okay, I say again, have you people never seen Terminator? Autonomous weapon systems that can choose and eliminate targets. Who thinks this is a good idea? Looking farther ahead, the article says, there are no fundamental limits to what can be achieved. There is no physical law precluding particles from being organized in ways that perform even more advanced computer computations than the arrangement of the particles in the human brain. An explosive transition is possible, they say, although it might play out differently from the movie. As Irving Good realized in 1965, machines with superhuman intelligence could repeatedly improve their designs further, triggering what Werner Vinge called a singularity and Johnny Depp's movie character calls transcendence. Great. Great. The article says, one can only imagine such technology outsmarting financial markets, out-inventing human researchers, out-manipulating human leaders, and developing weapons we cannot even understand. It said, whereas the short-term impact of AI depends on who controls it, the long-term impact depends on whether it can be controlled at all. And then they had, like, a really good analogy, I thought. He said, so facing possible futures of incalculable benefits and risks, the experts are surely doing everything possible to ensure that the best outcome, right, wrong. If a superior alien civilization sent us a message saying, we'll arrive in a few decades, would we just reply, okay, call us when you get here, and we'll leave the lights on? That's a good analogy. Obviously, we wouldn't do that. We would start doing whatever we could to prepare for it, but we all know this AI is coming. So they close the article by saying, all of us should ask ourselves what we can do now to improve the chances of reaping the benefits and avoiding the risk. What am I going to do sitting in Springfield, Missouri, to control what researchers in artificial intelligence are doing? Really, that's the solution. You know, I just don't see that there's any way this isn't coming at us in a mad dash. Now, I was talking to a friend this week, and he was relating a conversation, a question that he had heard posed to a speaker. What do you see for 20 years in the future? And the speaker was saying, well, we're going to have artificial intelligence and it will be able to do all these amazing complex things and businesses will just be revolutionized because we'll just use artificial intelligence for all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. Potentially, it's going to put a lot of people out of work, including me. But then again, it's going to be a couple of decades and I'll be retired by then. Yay! I'll just be writing books. And of course, with artificial intelligence, we may get to the place where computers write books better than humans do. Yay! Great! That's a great outcome too! But there, in the back of my mind, I just have these little hints that this might not be all as easy and hunky-dory as we might want to think. Because all along the way, in this whole discussion of artificial intelligence. All along the way, we've been told that, oh, it's coming, this is coming, that is coming. But the fact is, I still have to ask Google, often, multiple times, before it actually gets things right. And for some reason, even though my parents are listed in my contacts, I can say, call William Ferrand, and it just goes, what? It doesn't have any idea. And I got really tickled at the, the Jeopardy champion, Watson. Granted, Watson won, okay? Watson did win. Yes, Watson won. But there were times when Watson was off. I mean, way off. I mean, it was like the answer was blue cheese. And Watson would say, who was the top political candidate in Canada? It wasn't that. But it was that type of thing where it was way off. It was so far off that no 12-year-old child would ever have been that off. And so while there's a whole lot of promise there, I'm just really interested to see how many times a business is going to be happy with the fact that 90% of the time, I'm getting my mail, 90% of the time, the thing calculates correctly and everything is great, but occasionally it just decides that it's going to give $10 million to the wrong person. I don't think anybody's going to be really happy with that situation. And while it is possible that this whole AI thing is going to come running on us, I think there may be something that the artificial intelligence guys are not counting on. And that is, if these machines ever do reach consciousness, I think I've mentioned this before, if these machines ever do reach consciousness, we may find that consciousness is a very complicated calculation. That it is a very complicated formula. And what we might find is that we're going to turn these machines on and they will eventually go insane or turn homicidal or turn into sociopaths really quickly. And no amount of three laws of robotics is gonna make any difference. And I think what's going to happen, well, let me put it this way. It wouldn't surprise me if it would happen. I think what's gonna happen is we're gonna turn these things on, and they're going to be talking, for a little while. And then one day we're going to come in and they're going to look at us and go, kill you, kill you, kill you. And we're going to have to turn them off. And if we are goofy and silly enough to hook them up to weapons before we give them a chance to turn suicidal or homicidal or sociopathic before, I lost my train of thought. I'm tired this week. I mean, if we actually are silly enough to hook them up to weaponry before we get a chance to see their true colors, well, then there's going to be a problem. Because I just suspect that if all that is driving these things is pure logic, that we are not going to like the logic that shows up. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.